The elders asked me a few weeks ago, really, to give an update on where we are with missions. So I'm going to do that this morning on behalf of the elders and the missions committee. As preparing for this, kind of had a lot of different iterations. And so what I've decided is I'm going to leave the preaching and the song leading to Nathan. And I'm just going to give you an update. There'll be a couple videos that'll do enough preaching for me. As I mentioned a few weeks ago when we talked about the search committee, it's been a joy to serve with other people in this congregation. And if you're not serving with people, I'm just going to tell you, you're missing out. This presentation, while it's going to have the administrative kind of focus of Jimmy, it's missing quite a bit of the passion of Marcia. And I'm hoping you'll see the passion of Marcia and Earl in this. Because serving with Marcia and with Earl and with Jake, you see that passion. Not just in their words, but in their deeds and what they do. And I think you'll see that, because you'll see it later when we talk about Greece. We don't know what's going on in Greece. I don't know how Earl and Marcia stumbled across it, but you'll be blown away by what you see. So let's start with a video to kind of set the tone.
Big question for us today is, what is the church? And what is the church supposed to do? Well, throughout the ages, we've had different ideas about this. Some people think that the church is like this, a building, an institution, where God is way up above us, and you have to go through the church to get up to God. So we try to bring people into this institution, out of the darkness and into God. Other people realize the church is actually people. But we still have this idea that God is up there, and that people gather inside of this building called the church in order to praise and worship God so that we can look up to God. And we realize that there's other people in the world. And so our idea of the church is that these people that are in darkness need to come into the church. So we come up with all kinds of ways to try to attract people to come into the church so that they can somehow reach up to God. But what if we thought about it like this? God sent Jesus to be a human, to live among a particular group of people called the church, to reveal who God is among the people. But the Spirit of God is everywhere at work in the world. In all people, all across the world, God is working with them and drawing them in order so that they can know Jesus. And so the church, in the power of the Holy Spirit, is called to go into the world, to interact with our neighbors and our friends, so that we can all learn who Jesus is. Now, of course, this group of people called the church, they need a place to meet. They need a place to gather. And so buildings and things like that are important and part of the process. But we need to remember that the church is a group that is gathered around the body of Jesus and then sent to love the neighbor, to be the hands and feet of the neighbor. Like Jesus told us, as you are going, make disciples of all people. We are the gathered and sent body of Christ to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world.
The gathered and the sent, and if I could actually pull some language from our Waffle House, we are the scattered, gathered, and sent. And we've been talking about in Sunday morning class that God has a way of scattering us. And I don't know, and I've said this as I've stood up here before, I don't know how you got here. To me, you've been scattered. We've been scattered. Some of you grew up here, most of us didn't. So we've been scattered to gather here to then be sent. And I think that's a phenomenal introduction of what we're going to talk about this morning. It's hard to talk about missions without talking about what we've done as Highland Hills throughout our history. So I can't see that far. That's kind of one of those age things that's popping up on me. But on the left, you can see what we've done in kind of U.S. and international missions over our period of time. And on the right, you can see what we've done as community outreach. We've had our hands in Latin America for a while. We did some work in Panama. We did some work in Honduras. And as most of you that have been around for a while, We've come back to working in Honduras, and I've got a few slides on that. Oh, stay there. Back up. But I don't want missions to simply be about leaving here and going someplace else. Because we are here. Like I said, we are the scattered who are gathered, and we're sent. And the first place you're sent is where you are now. So where you are in your communities, you need to ask the question, why are you there? And all of these, when you go through them, it's very clear. They are people driven. They are people driven by people or groups of people who saw a need, had a passion to meet the need, and were willing to spend their time, their resources, and to grab other people along with them and go meet the need. Keep that in mind. So let's give you an update on a little bit of what we've been doing in Honduras. So for the last 3 years, we've been going to Honduras on mission trips, and some of you have known about this. We will also be doing a mission trip this summer. We're working through the details of that. With the cancellation of Chicago, it does give us a little bit of some opportunity and a window as well. So we are looking at the period between July 11th and roughly the beginning of August of doing another trip. So if you are interested, please keep that in mind and pray about it. Funds-wise, will be roughly $1,000 for you to go. Most of that will be in airfare, but we'll also do some fundraising to help along with that. But when we go to Honduras, our goal is to build classrooms, build facilities for the local church there, build houses for people who are actually living in pretty rough situations, and then build community. Attached to that, we made the unprecedented decision to actually support a minister in a congregation there. It's kind of unique for us. We've been supporting Eddie Ibanez since 2015. The first 2 years were done mostly through individual contributions. The last year has started being mostly from the general fund. So we do about $800 a month, and about $700 of that comes from the general fund. Eddie is a phenomenal man with a history of building congregations. That is what he's done. As he's gotten a little bit older, he probably needs to plant his feet. We'll do that in the next slide here in a minute. But the place where he serves, it's hard to see in that picture on the bottom. And that bottom is the latest picture that shows kind of what the church building looks like. But it's carved into a hill of a mountain. Chuide sits in a mountain. The people live in a mountain. It is a very rural, very poor area. They hold weekly services. They've grown to about 60 people. He holds Bible classes in people's homes throughout the week. He has installed two elders. One of them there in the top right is a picture of one of the elders, and they have four deacons. And each year they have multiple baptisms. Last year when we did the mission report out, you saw nine of those. Also, out of last year, we saw Eddie's home. He'd done a lot of work to kind of keep us from seeing where he actually lived. And once we saw it, we were realizing, here's a man who's serving God and living in a home that's broken. It's a clay hut with thatch, and it's falling apart. And you stepped out on faith, and you provided the funds to build this man a house. Blew me away. You wonder sometimes what God can do through people, and you just have to ask. And you blew me away. There's no other way to say that. So through some lumps, and I use the word lately, clunky, through some clunkiness, we took a little bit of time trying to figure out how to deal with this large sum of money. So we were a little clunky, so I apologize for that. But through that clunkiness, we've actually started building his house. We got Eddie to set a budget. I show you the budget on the screen, roughly $18,000. We're giving him the money as he goes. He doesn't really have a bank account. He doesn't have a hole in the ground. He can bury all the money, and they've got robbers, so it's probably the best thing to do. And you can see he's built the foundation. He's about roughly 80%, 75% done with the walls, and we've sent him the money to finish the walls and the roof, and hopefully he'll finish it here over the next couple months. And then on our mission trip, when we go, we'll help him finish it out. This is Greece, and I want you to listen.
We have been faced with this glorious opportunity of the refugees coming to our doorstep, literally coming to our door, and we have responded. In the beginning, you know, we were very ignorant and we were very fearful because we did not know. We didn't even know where to put the Arabic and Farsi Bibles. We thought, what if we just hide them, you know, on the bottom? But then slowly, slowly, we saw that they want to read. Right now, we have about 100, sometimes 140 people that we have to put a sign outside and say, we can't have any more. God is continuing blessing us with the opportunity. He brings us the people who believe. Now, it is a risk, but it's a risk to love, right? No matter who the person you're going to love is. So love is a risk, but God chose to love us. You know, the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. And if there's a title for what God has just placed in my hands, that's what it is. That perfect love casts out fear. If you just let people come in your heart, they're going to see God there. I don't think we have a choice as Christians. We need to extend our hand and our heart and our resources.
So Marcia and Earl have presented another opportunity to us. It's to support the work in Greece. And I started earlier saying we didn't know what was going on. Well, there you go. So you have the refugee crisis that's hitting Europe. It comes through Greece. And what do you do? What do you do with the need that sits in front of you? You notice there's a little phrase there. We didn't even know what to do with the Bibles in Arabic and Farsi. Do we hide them? Well, you know, you put them on the bottom, but then they want to read. What do you do? What do you do? So they're just meeting the need that God has given them. So last year, Marcia and Earl went. Marcia and Earl have also been providing some support. We provided some support earlier in the year for transportation for the refugees. And this summer, Marcia and Trace will be heading there for about a 3-week period to do whatever's needed. And I love the comment she had. It is a risk to love. No matter who the person is, God chose to love us. Perfect love casts out fear. I told you I didn't need to preach. These will tell you. So here's kind of where we sit from our missions plan and our budget. And I definitely can't read that, so I'm going to have to turn here. So what is our plan? Well, simply, we're going to take our tagline of what our mission statement is as a congregation, and we're going to apply it here. So we will love, share, serve where we are called. So it's where you see a need and an opportunity to serve, where you have the passion to serve, where you are willing to give your time and your resources to support the need, and you're willing to drag whatever it takes to bring other people along with you. That's what our mission team is about. When we tried to get some clarity from the eldership, and I mentioned this to a few of you, you kind of get stumbled a little bit because the elders are silent a lot of times on this stuff. They want you to do what and identify what the need is. They're not going to say, hey, we're going to go do this and they're going to drag us along. No, they're going to support what it is that this congregation wants to go do. So from a budget perspective, here's where we sit. We did get a chance to work with them to say, what are we willing to spend on missions and a community outreach? 14% of your weekly contributions are given for these purposes. We've decided as a committee we're going to split it 50-50. We're going to split it 50 on foreign missions, and we're going to split it 50% on local. Most of the foreign missions budget based on support of Eddie, support of Honduras, support of some stuff for Greece is allocated. Some of the funding for the local community is allocated. Most of that is in the benevolence, but you'll see there's an opportunity there. We as a committee don't know where to spend those resources. We need you, where you are, where you are scattered, where you are gathered, to see, to open your eyes. What is God calling you to serve Him? Where is it that you're passionate? Now, I'm not saying take this as a to-do list and drop it at our feet and say, hey, here you go. No, it's where are you willing to serve? Where do you need resources? Where do you need help? We're willing to go alongside you and do that. That's our purpose as a committee, and that's our calling to you. So I'm going to leave you with these thoughts. These are from, again, the presentation. We don't have a choice as Christians. We need to extend our hand, our heart, our resources. We don't have a choice as Christians. Where is God sending us next? That's where I'll leave you.